Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Carrie and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we're going to start a new journey today, a journey also, of course, always in the Bible. And Tara's going to do an overview of her new study. And we're going to let you just take over right now.
Right there. Go, Tara. They're counting on me talking the whole time.
Yep. Yes, we are.
Lord, help us. Okay, so this Bible study is called The Foreigner, The Stranger, The Alien, and The Sojourner. And let me explain. So I was at a mission conference in March of last year, and at the mission conference, we had a guest speaker come in, and his name was Ollie. And Ollie shared that a story that he read to us, and the story just captivated my heart. But after he shared the story, I'm going to share the story in a second, but after he shared the story, he said that every single person, according to the Bible, in one way or another, carries the label foreigner, stranger, alien, or sojourner. And I thought, wait a minute. And then he went on to explain, even Jesus refers to himself as a stranger. And all of the patriarchs are called foreigners. And angels are referred to as strangers among us. And even believers are considered foreigners to this earth because we are family of the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, you know what? I don't think my people know this. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down and what he said on that. And I'm like, God, my people don't know it, but I want my people to know it. And I had an outline for a Bible study.
I'm thinking, my people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I knew that. We're not.
Mm-hmm. My people.
The ones that don't know that do need to know that.
Yeah.
This is not our home.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so I just wrote the outline, sat it aside, and it was in my heart prayer before God, and I just shared it with one other person. Well, then, fast forward, Grace closes May, and the school is closed, and I'm praying, what am I supposed to do, God, while I'm waiting for you to show me? And he said in my heart, do you remember that outline you wrote for the foreigner, the stranger, the alien, and the sojourner? And I'm like, okay, yeah, and I want you to do that. And so I dove in and I began a journey of trying to help me understand what the Bible actually says about these people with these labels, since I am a part of that people group. Mm-hmm. And was blown away by the things that God taught me. So that is what we are going to be studying for many, many months. It will probably take us a full year to complete this series because we will have this month, which I will be just talking introductory. We'll read some scriptures to help us get started, but then we're going to dive in and we will do six narratives of the Old Testament, and then we're going to do six narratives in the New Testament to examine what the Bible actually has to say. And I can tell you that it's changed my life. It has blown my mind away, my husband's mind away, what God has been teaching us. And the thought process of what he has us thinking through just in circumstances and the questions we're starting to ask ourselves to make sure that we're on task. And so that's how this all started. Now, Ollie, the story that he read to us, oh, my goodness. So he shared there was a little boy who was 6 years old, and his family moved to America. And they happened to move here 2 days before the 4th of July. And they had a hotel room, or the hotel told them, sorry, once the 4th of July happens, you're not going to have anywhere to stay. I'm booked solid, so you can stay here now, but you'll have to go somewhere else once the 4th of July hits. Well, they didn't know what the 4th of July was, and it just happened they were in a smaller community. They weren't in a large city. And so here on the 4th of July, when everybody is running around all excited about the 4th mm-hmm. and fireworks and all this stuff, they were very loud and, you know, all the party stuff. they're sitting on a park bench trying to figure out where a family of five are going to stay for the night and thinking they're going to have to sleep in the park. And while they were just sitting there trying to figure things out, the family in the park kind of noticed them, came over and started to start talking to them. And in that conversation, discovered, wait, what do you mean you're going to stay here in the park? And they lived about an hour away. Well, the dad said, no, you can come home and stay with us tonight. And even though everything's still going on, and they filled up their car with their family of five, he began taking them in groups back to the house. Mm-hmm. He drove and dropped some off and came back and got the rest and then went back and dropped them off. And so he made two trips in order to get both families back to the house. And in the next week, he helped them find a job, a place to live, got the kids in school, got them established in like English as a second language. And through that family, Ollie shared with us that he was the six-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, and at this point, I'm bawling, you know, because I'm not doing the story nearly as well as he did. And this Christian family shared Christ with him, and the family ended up coming to know Christ as their Savior. And I just want to be that family. I want to be the kind of person that I notice people, and I want to notice people that aren't necessarily like me. Mm-hmm. And when I say not like me, according to Scripture, not like me means it could be a foreigner, a stranger, an alien, or a sojourner, but it also could be a widow, an orphan, a prisoner. Scripture uses those categories as well to describe a person who falls in the category of foreigner and stranger. And so that's kind of how this journey begins. So how do you guys feel about that? What do you think, Carrie? Sandy, you ready to join me on this journey?
Yeah,
I am. You do that, though, Kara.
I hope so.
Your house is always open to people.
Mm-hmm. I try. And maybe that's why it's a burden. I don't know. But I feel I'm just beginning in my journey of understanding what God really wants from me. I don't think I'm there yet.
And I think that is so important when you said, I want to be that type of person that sees people. Yeah, that's a lot of my prayers. A lot of times when I go out is, God, show me somebody that I can help or that need, or maybe it's just a hug. Mm-hmm. It's something that they need that you can recognize that there's a need.
Yeah.
Like my little Flo on the dirt road that time.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And all right, so we're going to read some verses just to encourage our heart with the word. And so we're going to have Hebrews 11, 13 through 16 read by Carrie. And then Sandy's going to read for us Matthew 25 through 45. These are two verses that mean a lot, and they actually come out in the study, so we'll actually, they'll be a part of the study as we go along. The Matthew 25 will actually be the very last narrative we do, but I think it's important we start with it as well. And the Hebrews comes out in the first chapter with the intro, so it's just nice to begin with these, so our beginning and our ending. Go ahead, Carrie.
Okay, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them for a city.
Go ahead,
Sandy. Matthew 25:45. He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
Okay, skim back up. I gave you the last one. I want it to be also the verse that says, you do for me what you do for the least of these. I gave you the ending one. So I messed up on that. Do you see
I'm talking about I was a stranger and you did not invite.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the one that says that when you do the least for me, these, you do it for me.
Okay, this would be then 25:43. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.
Okay, that's
is that what you wanted?
I want verse 40.
Oh,
so and that's the end because there's two parts. So the thing is it, what we do for him for the least, we do for him what we don't do.
We don't do for him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the 40 is the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Right, okay. And
sorry,
that's my
fault. I wrote down 25:40.
You did the right one. I gave you the wrong one. And y'all just need to know that's something I do sometimes.
And
I give the wrong scripture. Okay, so he says what we do for the least of these, we do for him. And what we don't do, we don't do for him. So that's Jesus's heart in this. And so I've been asking myself the question a lot, like, okay, what does that look like for me? What does the least of these mean to me? And what does that look like in my daily? Now, with the Hebrews passage, as I was pondering this is referring to the patriarchs, and that the patriarchs were a people that were living by faith, and they wanted and longed to be a part of a community. That was their desire. Mm-hmm. And they were given the promise of God's heavenly community. Mm. And even though they couldn't see it, they went and did and moved with the intent to be a part of the kingdom of God and having nothing like scripture like we have to help them in that.
Because everybody wants to be included.
Correct. And I literally... It makes me want to cry because when I have talked with my friends that I will refer to as my global friends or my international friends, my friends that have come from other places to our city, all of them are coming in faith because they're looking for a better place. Mm-hmm. Now, that desire, what they may or may not know if they're not a believer, is that longing, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, that we have a God-sized hole in our heart, that God has given us a longing, a hole in our heart where we are longing for him. And we can often think that that's going to be a place, a geography, a location, a person, but it's Christ. Mm-hmm. And so my prayer over the city of Omaha and for my international friends and for those from other places is that when they come looking by faith for the better place, that we're able, as the true followers of Christ, to show them that it's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Mm-hmm. He's the one that will fill that need and that longing for a heavenly home, a place where they can belong. So those are going to be our premises, because Jesus says what we do to the least, we do to him. And then we need to recognize they're longing for that community, and we want to be the people that can help fulfill that need. It blesses my heart as I ponder it. So, first I want to make sure that it's in the study but I'm going to say it even on the radio. The goal is not to be political. The goal is not to, focus in on the news. Our goal is I'm one, you need to know, I am politically ignorant and I am news ignorant. I am going to confess out loud over the airwaves, I do not watch the news and I do not watch politics. I don't join in on it and that. That is not my heart and that's not my goal. I am a woman of God who reads the Bible. And I am a woman of God who wants to interact with people based on the Bible. So what we're doing is we're taking the Bible and we're going to go from a biblical worldview, what it means to interact with our friends that are not like us among us. So that's our goal. Now, with that, we are going to have some structures that we're going to go through, and we'll get into the structures probably more in detail with each narrative, but to give us an idea, a little bit of what we're looking at. The first structure that we're going to use for this series is the stages of discipleship. So anybody that has spent any significant time with me in a one-on-one, or me as a professor, or as their dean, or even as a friend, you will receive this drawing. I think I have drawn this out for more people than you could possibly ever imagine. So I'm sad that you cannot see this, but if you want to email us at tararye.com, I will actually send you the drawing and descriptions in detail about what the stages of discipleship are. And the reason why I want us to focus on the stages of discipleship, we cannot expect someone to do something that they are not. And we cannot assume that somebody is spiritually mature just because they say they're a follower of Christ. And so if we understand that we have spiritual infants, spiritual children, spiritual young adults, and then spiritual parents, that helps us not for the intent of judging somebody, but with the intent to understanding, okay, this is who I'm working with, so I need to communicate in a way that will minister to them with where they're at in the stage of development so that I'm not trying to expect them to be something that they cannot be. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I use the stages of discipleship. Now, an infant, we have just 2 minutes left, so I'm going to give these quickly. An infant is a person who is ignorant. They have to be shown what to do. So you share life with them, scripture. You show them how to read the Bible, how to pray. It's about their identity in Christ. The child is very self-centered, and it's all about connection, and it's about teaching them and helping them connect to the family of God. It's all about their identity of community. Now, this series is about helping us get our community down, mm-hmm. so keep that in mind. The young adult is about equipping them and empowering them so that they can go and find their place of service and how they can come alongside. So it's their identity of purpose. And the parent is about releasing them to go forth to build the kingdom. And it's their identity of kingdom purpose. The parent is somebody who's already fat. Listen to that. Faithful, available, and teachable. And so looking for somebody who has a desire to learn, grow, move forward, and minister to others, that's what would fall into that category, the parent. And so the stages of discipleship will help us to understand where we're at, but we can also use that to look at people when we're looking at the narratives. So when we study Nabal, Abigail, and David, well, Nabal is an unbeliever, whereas David, he's kind of showing he's more of a child, and Abigail's actually showing she's more of a spiritual parent. We can actually see where each of them are at in their spiritual walk, mm-hmm. and that kind of helps you understand their maturity of what they're doing, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny. You would have thought David would have been above Abigail, but he wasn't. So we're so glad you're listening. You need to come back because we're going to go into what is cultural intelligence next time. And we're so glad that you are listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. God bless.